Have you ever found yourself living the same scenario over and over again, same story, different day, wondering why nothing new ever breaks loose from it? Happens in so many different places. Relationships that keep circling around the same argument over and over again. Beginning to feel like the release of the General Synod notebook has become such a moment. Same vitriol, new overture, rehashing the same arguments we've been having in the RCA over and over again. And I also felt something of that same feeling sitting in a community conversation on Monday night. I felt this anger and this pain being voiced among people in our community before. And the responses in reaction were much the same. Same conversation, different day. When will something new break loose? As I am ready for something new in all of those scenarios. And in the midst of a Groundhog Day, you have to be old enough to remember that movie, Groundhog Day kind of week, we are invited to celebrate the ascension of the Lord. And I read in the Christian Century magazine a couple of weeks ago that the Amish acknowledge this day in a very different way than we do. It is a day of mourning and sorrow. I doubt they sing the Hallelujah chorus on this day. Because for them, it marks the day when Jesus left us. And I was thinking this week of all weeks, I would really have liked to sit face to face with Jesus and to say, what are we supposed to do? How does this become a different story with a new ending? And I was ready to bring on a day of mourning. Wasn't sure about singing the Hallelujah chorus at the end of this day. Ready to stand with the disciples, just kind of looking up into heaven saying, how are we supposed to do this without you? And then I got an email from Rochelle Oppenheisen, which I know some of you know well. And in it was a quote. And it was a quote from a book that Barbara Timmer had given me, so I was so glad to be able to look the quote up and read it, from Christian Wiman in My Bright Abyss, A Meditation of a Modern Believer. And from that email that pointed me to this book, that pushed me back into the text with some new eyes, I am ready to hear the Alleluia chorus at the end of this service today. And I'll have to take a few minutes to help you know how I got there. When Jesus gathers for that last time with the disciples in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, to the way in which everything that had been written in the book of Moses, the Psalms and the prophets, had to be fulfilled. And I was really curious about how it was Jesus would summarize all that had been said about him in those things. That's the entirety of the Hebrew scripture. And he says it quite simply, that the Messiah is to suffer and then to rise. Clearly, Jesus' entry into human life was a willingness to enter suffering, because he came into this mess of a world that we live in. And that suffering took him to death by way of betrayal and abandonment and violence. Look around. Same story. Different day. But Jesus kept insisting all throughout his ministry and after his death and resurrection that there is a new ending. Loneliness can be met by community. Injustice can be exposed and then turned around. Betrayal can be confronted and then healed, which Jesus does with Peter in John 21. The one who betrayed is given the opportunity to make amends. The one who was betrayed offers forgiveness. Over and over again, Jesus shows us the new ending, that after suffering comes rising. And the baton that he hands to us on this day of ascension is to bear witness to this movement. The way he put it is to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. I don't know if bells ring for you that that's the same movement or not, but the more I was thinking about it, I realized it's precisely the same movement. If you have ever found yourself as the cause of someone else's suffering, and you realize that you need to change, you learn very quickly that the work of turning around, of repentance, is hard work, especially when you recognize that you are part of the cause of same story, different day in someone's life. I sat with someone from the community recently who realized that she had been running away from conflict for 20 years. Anytime it got hard, she bolted. And she had broken relationships strewn all over the city. And there was all kind of injustice that brought the initial conflicts to bear. It wasn't just her fault, not by any stretch. But she realized that if she wanted to have a different ending to the story, she had to look at herself and she needed to change. And that work of turning away from her impulse to run when things get hard was another form of suffering for her. No wonder her impulse, like so many of us, was to just kind of gloss over it, to reach out for what's familiar, hope it would just go away. But she had come to recognize that if she wanted a new ending, she needed to change. And her testimony, after being many months in a deep, dark depression as she was looking at all of this, her testimony was that this work of repentance was like coming through one kind of suffering and diving into another. And in fact, the way she described where she was on the day that we spoke was that she felt completely emptied out, like she was ash on a burned out heap. Those were her words. But she also had this growing sense for the very first time that on the other side of this suffering, there was going to be a rising. And she could see for the very first time in her life that there could be forgiveness offered and received in a way that she had never dreamed possible before. So let me share with you the quote that came from My Bright Abyss. Our minds are constantly trying to bring God down to our level, rather than letting God lift us into levels which we were never previously capable. This is as true in life as in art. Thus, we love within the lines that experience has drawn for us. We create out of impulses that are familiar, and if we are honest with ourselves, impulses that are exhausted. What might it mean to be drawn into meanings that in some profound and necessary sense shatter us? This is what it means to love. I had to read that a couple times. But after I did, I could not help but see the scene with the disciples as it's told in Acts through that lens. Jesus has been with them for 40 days since his resurrection, connecting the dots between his teaching and his ministry and this realm of God he was handing over to them. And here is what the disciples want to know as their last question that they will ever pose to him. Is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Like, really? That's your question? Right? They still had their minds in the plans they had before he came. Our minds are constantly trying to pull God down to our level. They still desire to rise up as a nation and make Israel great again. We create out of impulses that are familiar, and if we're honest with ourselves, impulses that have been exhausted. And then, with this kindness that blows my mind, Jesus says to them, not your business. And then goes on to say, There's a gift that is coming for you in the gift of the Holy Spirit that is going to show you a new way to love and help you find the new ending from those stories that we get stuck inside all the time. But of course, the rub is that there might be some part of us, some dream, desire, or vision, as the disciples learned, that has to be shattered first. I don't know if we're on the brink of a shattering in the life of the RCA. Maybe. Maybe not. It feels like we're in the middle of some things shattering in our country. There's probably more to come. Maybe you're in the middle of something like that right now. It's not because of the shattering that I'm now ready to hear the Alleluia chorus. It's because of the promise of rising. It's the promise of this image that, yes, God entered that suffering, but it was for the purpose of lifting us back up out of it. And I feel like I know better today how to pray through a week like this. To ask for God to lift us up the way Jesus was lifted up. To help us to see what we are having trouble seeing. To be able to be who we were never able to be before. And to be able to say to God with honesty of heart, however we have to get there, no matter what it takes, we will trust you. Even if there is this part that needs to be shattered before it can be uplifted. So on this day of the ascension of the Lord, I invite all of us to place our eyes and our hearts on the lifting up. And that can invite us to join with full-throated voice in the singing of the Alleluia chorus. Amen. Amen.